Blog Talk Radio.
Heavenly Father, Father, now once again, as we open your word, we're asking the Holy Spirit to come forward to lead and guide us and to give us the truth and the revelation of this your word, Father, so that we can grow in faith and grow closer unto the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we can walk in obedience, Father, unto thy word. Now, Father, be with us as we go through this study this evening. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to be in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. We went through 14. We found a lot of things going on in that one. Now, here in 15, we're going to be working with some other things now. So here in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand. Now, you know, when we look at that first verse there, that brings us to the only doctrinal era in which the apostle addresses himself in this epistle. And it contained in this chapter. That were the historical factors behind this problem, probably the best view understands this question in light of the tenets of Greek Ptolemaic philosophy, but had a general pervaded the Hellenistic world. You see, this was also a different belief, and generally the material universe was considered unsuited to a spiritual existence. And the Gnostics, for example, even went as far as to suggest that the body was evil. And this kind of skepticism formed the background for both chapter 15 and Colossians chapter 2, verse 8 through 23. You see, we find a lot of different things in different places, but all referring to the same thing, which gives us confirmation the word is always right. And as long as we will take the word as it is written, and we stand on that, we cannot go wrong. But you know, a lot of us don't. And that really brings us verse 2. By which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Now this word vain, you're going to find that it's going to occur in this chapter that we're in about 6 times. And most really don't really understanding the true meaning of the word vain. But it means, you know, and all that if we are not believers and we are trying to do things on our own, the things we do are useless. It's of no good at all. Now, 3. Paul says, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. You see, we all need to stand on scripture, because that is the place where we are going to get our knowledge, our wisdom, our faith from. You see, because faith comes to us by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that also is God's word, not mine. That is God's word. Now, 4. And that he was buried, and that he arose again the third day according to the scripture. You know, those two verses, 3 and 4, you have 4 vital truths are here and it's introduced back that Christ died for our sins. And we know that that is accentuated in all in the Word of God. We know he was buried. We also find that in the Word of Almighty God. It also is the proof his death. And then we have he rose again. And the perfect tense stresses abiding results. He was raised in the past and remains alive now unto this day. You know, that has all been predicted. Even back in the old, what we call the Old Testament. These are things that we ordinarily don't think about as we read this Word of Almighty God. All right, now, 5. And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. This is on his resurrection. 6. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present. But some are fallen asleep. But most of them, at the time of this writing, was still alive. Pardon me. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. Well, we know that Paul didn't see him as the other apostles, because at that time, Paul was not an apostle. In fact, Paul was chasing those down that were believers and were following the Lord Jesus Christ, taking them back to be in prison and death. Because Paul was raised under the Mosaic law, and he was wanting nothing to do with the Lord Jesus Christ until he met him on the road to Damascus. And why was he going to Damascus? He was going for the same thing he had always been doing. He had letters and all and papers on him from the high priest so he could bring back those believers that he would find and bring them back for them to be imprisoned and killed. Now, eight. And last of all, he was seen of me also as the one born out of due time. And we know that he had been gone back to heaven a while before Paul met him. So yes, he was as one born out of due time. Now, 9. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But you see, Paul's not hiding anything. He's bringing it all out and letting them know. He's telling the church here at Corinthians a lot about his past. 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. There's that vain again, see? But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Now, Paul is letting them know that he was really not worthy to have this all bestowed upon him. And he's letting them know why and what he had been doing. 11. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach and so ye believe. He's talking to those now that have become believers through his ministry and those that were with him and those that he was sending out other places. 12. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how shall some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? You see, he's talking here in 12 about the dead. And Paul was established, first of all, that the resurrection is an essential fact of the gospel. And he now mentions some logical consequences of denying the resurrection of believers. Because you see, if you are a child of God today, you are a believer. And if you are a believer, there will come a time that you will be resurrected. This body may go back to dirt. But there's also a time coming to where it will be changed and called forth. Think about that. And those that are still living, when the Lord comes for his church, that body you're in now, or at that time, will be changed in the twinkle of an eye. It no longer will be as this flesh body we now live in. It will all be changed. 13. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? In other words, he's letting you and I know that if there's no such thing as resurrection, then Christ is not raised. And we go on here in 14, Christ be not raised, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. If Christ be not risen, and he's not in heaven, now, then, his preaching is vain, it's of no use, and our faith would be of no use. But you see, we all know that is not so, because there's one thing about it. When you are a born-again child of the living God, and you are walking in and with his word and in the Spirit, you know that the word is true. And you know that the Lord Jesus Christ was born and he walked this earth and he had his ministry and that he was crucified and then he was buried and then he arose the third day. Walked this earth 40 days more among his disciples, teaching them what they needed to be doing and giving them also instructions of how to do it. And then he went back to heaven. Several of them stood and watched him go. There was no doubt about it. Now, Fifteen. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God. Now 15, followed 14, that told us, if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is also vain. He goes on and says, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead raised not. You see, he's breaking everything down and letting us know that all of these that claim that there's no such thing as resurrection, all of that is not so. 16. For if the dead raise not, then is not Christ raised. 17. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are in your sins. You would still be in your sins. And you would have no help at all to be able to get out of it. Now, 18. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Those that have died as believers, as being the children of God, you see, if his resurrection was not so, then they would all perish. 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Among mankind, they would be more miserable than most all other men. Well, we know why. Because they were chaste. They were imprisoned. They were beaten. Some were stoned. Paul himself was stoned and left outside the gate for dead. They thought he was dead, but he wasn't. Shipwreck, snake bit by a poison snake. Didn't even make him sick. Oh, now, that can't be. Yes, it can. And the Word of God tells us that it is so with him. Now, But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Now, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Through Adam we all will die. or for the most part. There's been a few that didn't. One was taken up in a chariot of fire. Another was taken up in a whirlwind. They didn't die. But one day they will. And we'll be getting to that later on in our Bible study. I'm not going there right now. Now, 23. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. You know, talking about order there, and as we went through to 14, we found out that the church, God's church, for us to set up a church, it has to be kept in order. What order? Order of the Word of God and His commandments for it, and what is supposed to be in it and happening. And it's to be the way the Word gives it to us, not what man wanted to make out of it. Now, as an example of that this morning, we found out that they're not all supposed to stand up in church and speak in tongues all at one time. Because God's Word told us there in chapter 14 that if they was going to be speaking in tongues, let it be by two or three at the most, and then one interpret. And if they didn't have an interpreter, then they wasn't to speak at all. And he went on to tell us on down through there that that's the way it was to be in all churches of the saints. And we are to keep everything in order. Now, then cometh the end when he shall deliver up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority. It's coming a time that afterward they that are Christ at his coming. When Christ comes for the church at the rapture, believers will also experience resurrection. That will happen again. Now, you see, actually, the Lord Jesus was not the only one resurrected at his death. You know, you remember as we were studying the gospel, at his death, they were graves open then, and they were a lot of them that had been dead was raised, and they were seen in the town and by others. It don't tell us how many, but it let us know there's more than one. You can go back and read it for yourself. Now, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. 26. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. That is our last enemy. Death. And at his coming, that will be our last enemy. 27. For he has put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is expected which did put all things under him. We know that when that happens, that the Son also himself be subject unto him, the Heavenly Father. And this is a difficult expression and has often been misunderstood to suggest apostles subordinated the Son to the Father. And however, two facts must be accounted for here. First, when Paul says that the Son is subject to the Father, he is not speaking of the Son in terms of his essence, but in terms of his function or ministry as the incarnate Son. And second, the thrust of Paul's statement is best understood at this present time. The administration of the Messianic kingdom is given to the Son. And however, at the conclusion of the Messianic kingdom, this function will be returned to the Father, that God may be all in all. You see, there are several things coming. They're not as far off as what mankind would like to believe. We have the coming of the Lord Jesus for the church, or the rapture, so to speak. Then we have the rest of tribulation, that 7 years of tribulation. And then the Lord is coming back again to this earth to set up his kingdom here on the earth for 1,000 years. And all that are with him will be coming with him back to the earth to spend that 1,000 years here with him. And then there'd be the great white throne judgment, and then a new heaven and a new earth. You see, a lot of things ahead of us. But we need to be ready and not be holding back and trying to put things of this world ahead of our Lord and Savior and the Word of Almighty God. But we've got a lot of them doing it. They'll use every excuse they can use to keep from joining in or attending church. And yet they call themselves Christians. But what they are filled with pride and selfishness and wanting to make things their own way instead of things of Almighty God. Now, and when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. 29. Else, what shall they do which were baptized for the dead, if the dead raise not at all? Why are they then baptized for the dead? You see, there was a time to baptize for the dead, the practice of various baptism appeared as early as the second century. And some suppose that this custom had already been introduced at Corinth, the church there in Corinth. It is extremely doubtful that the apostle would have made reference to this heretical practice without in the same breath condemning it. And the expression probably refers rather to young converts who took the place of the older brethren in the church who had died, so that it would be properly rendered baptized in the place of. You know, and that's something we cannot do. We cannot be baptized for someone else. But this is what they were, those back in those days, were doing. Now, that's why Paul was condemning it. 30. And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? 31. I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus, our Lord, I die daily. Now, Paul here is talking about he dies daily, but this does not teach that Paul actually mortified the flesh every day. In other words, he didn't really die every day. The context tells us that he, in effect, faced wild beasts every day. Paul's life was in such constant jeopardy that he never knew when he might be called on to give his life for the gospel. And we all know that from the way things are. Here in verse 32. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it me if the dead raise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. 34. Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. We are going to stop here for this evening. God willing, we'll pick up here in the morning and finish out 15, and we may even get through the last chapter, which is 16 of 1 Corinthians, and then we'll be going into 2 Corinthians. But we've had a lot of things come back to our memories that we had let the mind forget or get away from us because we wasn't using it very often. And this is what we need to be watching out for. We need to be bringing all of the word and with our understanding into our lives and put that word to work so that we bring it to life for others to see and to be able to understand and know that they need something more than themselves, that they need a Savior in order to be able to make heaven their home, or else they will split hell wide open. And they'll be there with Satan and his demons and all that has turned their back and rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, we are closing your word, Father, for this evening. And we thank you for this word, Father. We thank you for the Lord Jesus and for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we do thank you for the time so we come together to share this word with each other so that we can grow thereby. Because, Father, we have so many today claiming to be the children of God that are not. They're sitting in our churches. And they're sitting in places that are called churches that are teaching things that are contrary to your word, Father. And they are being taught wrongly, but they really believe they have heaven made their home. But when the time comes for them to step out of this life into the next, they're going to hear those words that we have heard several times as we studied this word. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, because I never knew you. Now, Father, Israel, Jerusalem, we pray for them. We ask them, Father, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah. And we pray for them to have peace. And Father, this land in which we live, our government has so many in office that are filled with evil and bringing evil upon the people of this land and allowing things to work, Father, this should never be allowed. We're asking, help us, Father, to come together and to replace them with those that love you, to love the Lord Jesus, love your church and your people in this country. So, Father, that we put them and put our government back upon the foundation which it was founded, that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. And, Father, for those that are part of this ministry, that study with me, that will walk with me, Father, I pray for them tonight. Kenny Powers, Dennis Lee, James Taylor, Amy, Amy's husband Tom, Amy's son Jacob, Bobby and Millie Johnson, myself, and Father, that young couple that is standing in need of the Lord Jesus. I pray for them and Shane that they'll see that they need the Lord Jesus and that they will go to him, get their life straight so they can be on their way along that pathway of righteousness. Now, Father, keep us all through this night in health. Keep us all safe. Bring us back together in the morning at 10 a.m., Father, and back into your word. Father, this is my prayer. I ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, everyone. Have a great, great evening. Walk with God. He'll walk with you. Have a good one now. Bye-bye.